Chapter 17. Prax. The Orbital Command substation was an immense agglomeration of cylindrical towers, dish arrays, and landing platforms that in better days would have serviced light jurisdictional compliance craft responsible for inspection and enforcement of orbital traffic. The facility was surrounded by a crumpled wire fence and was all just within sight of Princus Prax's outer walls. The city was a thumb's-width smudge on the horizon, a coppery pall of particulate pollution that glimmered like living crystal from the final stage escape boosters of orbital lifters. The Orcs, as Major Bryce had explained it, utilized the substation's communication nets to complement their own orbital operations. Zerberin could have inferred that much for himself from the sheer concentration of firepower that the Orcs had embedded there in its defense. Pot-bellied howitzers thrust out of sandbagged redoubts. For such large, crude-looking artillery pieces, they had a tremendous rate of fire, thumping out explosive shells and sending up rockets of dusty topsoil amidst the Fist's exemplar advance. Machine cannons screamed as they ripped up new trench lines. Scrap metal drizzled over Zerberin's armor. Dust clogged the glowing lenses of his helm. The bombardment was a variable that, having already plotted the optimal angle of attack at the onset, he could no longer influence and so spared no further thought to. A combat squad comprising one half of veteran squad Anatok moved with him over the broken ground in a line, their even spacing the resultant practical of Brother Donbus's best theoretical of the howitzer shell's blast radius. The five space marines were flickering gold Auspex traces in Zerberin's faceplate display, periodically broken up by dust, diffraction, and blast compression fronts. They fired sporadically, conserving ammunition, the soundless flashes of muzzle flare in the cacophony primarily to give the Orcs something to aim at other than the true source of the attack. With their genhanced low-light vision and complementary Auspex overlays bolstering their awareness, the Fist's exemplar guided the lighter Tempestus Scions in. Patched into the human's platoon frequency, Zerberin listened in on their chatter as he picked a path through the stick bombs, tube charges, and tripwires that his auto-senses threat recognition protocols called out from the general detritus. Even had these men been space marines, Zerberin would have been impressed by their vox discipline. There was none of the braggadocio and backchat that he was accustomed to hearing on mortal units' channels. Just target advisories, calm requests for recharge packs or Medicaid assistance, and mapping updates that were followed immediately and without question. Zerberin had not yet seen the Scions truly tested, but if they achieved nothing else today, then they had already accomplished a feat that was practically unheard of. They had impressed an exemplar. "Unidentified heat source on your 11," voxed one, their system clear as a bell. The heat source saw Zerberin the moment that Zerberin saw it, and fired a moment later. A devil-dog flame tank, hull down and scarred enough by battle damage to justify Zerberin's initial appraisal that it had been derelict. An Orc, in an ill-fitting flak jacket and a red bandana, lifted its head above the hatch and shouted. He would submit himself for proper penance when the battle was done. A melter beam lanced from its turret gun in a howl of deconstituted atmosphere and passed a foot over Zerberin's shoulder, incinerating half of the following Scions in an instant. Heat washed over him. He hit the ground, rolling into the cover formed by the scrap and crater surrounding the substation as the tank's glacis-mounted heavy bolter opened up. "Mine, cousin!" An Iron Warrior's Terminator strode directly into the firing line. His monstrous battle plate soaked up the Glacis Mount's magazine as mass reactive rounds from his own combi bolter spanked across the Devil Dog's gunner slit. A disruption field thrummed into life around the clenched fingers of his power fist as the cataphracti disappeared again into the fog of war. "Tarsus! Gallon! Pincer left!" voxed Zerberin, rising and clapping dust from his bolt pistol. "Tosk, Nalis, Borhun, right!" His squad knew their duties, but it always paid to keep their wiser-than-thou individualism in check. Jaskolska, he went on, switching to the science channel, addressing the female trooper he had spoken with briefly at the Agriplex. We have you covered.
Our gratitude, Lord Captain.
The surviving science, no grief, no complaint, took off at a full sprint. They were bug-eyed by the full covering and rebreather apparatus of their Omni-Shield helms. The greenish glow of visual augmenter beams from their hellgun scopes webbed the air like a hay-wired security grid. Zerberin followed, finding the troopers spread out in a semicircular firebase formation. Sergeant Jaskolska and the unit sapper in the process of maglocking the final melter bombs to the substation's dreadnought-sized main doors.
Clear!
Yelled the sapper with considerable long pent-up satisfaction, and then activated the det charges via his slate monitorum. White fire rolled out from the doors with a searing roar. Zerberin felt a passing discomfort in his eyes before his auto-senses adapted to the supernova glare and filtered out the more damaging wavelengths. He was stepping into the breach with weapons ready while the Scions still had their arms over their helm's visors. The gunmetal floor tiles glittered like a starfield, littered with flakes of glass that a moment ago had been dust. Opposite, a security desk sat behind a reinforced shatterglass screen, the window turned almost completely white with cracks. On various walls, the torn corner scraps of instructional posters fluttered as the vestibule breathed in, exchanging the oxygen that the melter bombs had consumed for smoke from outside. He shot and killed an orc that pushed its way in through an interior door, then another and another. Shot, kill, shot, kill. Purity through utility. More were coming, discernibly different from the savage fighters he had encountered on Prax thus far. Another greenskin subtype, perhaps. Another clan. Their alien features were encased in horned helms, obscene musculature clad in thick body armor, decorated with an optically striking black-and-white checker pattern. There were too many, and the number of entrance corridors was too great for even transhuman reflexes and space marine armament to hold them at bay. Zerberin swung his thunderhammer as he charged headlong into the pack. The time-release detonation vaporized the first orc's torso, pasted its legs in two long red streaks back the way it had come, and lifted the half-ton brute behind it off its feet, sending it crashing through the shatterglass screen. Another, hard and green and slabbed in armor, came in across his swing. It roared, all aggression. He roared back, vox amplified to a crippling pitch, as the orc slammed into his turned shoulder and bulldozed him into the wall. Nalis and Bohun arrived in a storm of bolter fire that shredded the orc. Following in their wake came Jaskolska and her scions, lighting up the room with full auto bursts of hotshot las. Powerful though the scions' hellguns were compared to the standard guardsman's las rifle, each monstrous greenskin took several point-blank blasts to put down, and several more to finish off. The last orc crunched onto the glass-strewn tiles, crisped like meat held too long against the heat. Zerberin disinterred himself from the dented wall and opened a channel. Columba! Major! He masked the twitch of his lip and swallowed his distaste. Calcator! Entrance secured. See that the perimeter is held and join me in the control room. A pity our fathers were such adversaries, voxed Calcator. Together their sons would have been unstoppable. In some other universe, perhaps? Zerberin returned, and then, aware that Bryce was also on the channel, added a poisonous, Cousin? That was an explanation that he did not want to have to give. Not now, and not to Marshal Beaumont when they finally rejoined the muster at Fahl. He scowled. First Captain Zerberin of the Fist's Exemplar did not answer to the Black Templars. This facility's data stores had better be worth it.
This way, Lord Captain,
said Jaskolska smartly, unaware that the warning had been intended for himself. Glass ground under her feet as she eased open an interior door and stepped over the greenskin corpse that had been holding it ajar. Zerberin followed, then Nalis, Bohun, Tosk, and Galen. Tarsus remained behind to hold the vestibule, directing the remaining scions into fire points behind upturned tables and security lockers. A short corridor led to a metal staircase. It looked like something that would have been used by lower-grade servants and perhaps as an escape route during emergency drills. Access doors onto exterior walkways stood on each tier, bloody handprints on the emergency release bars. A pair of panicked-looking Gretchen came clattering down the escape and straight into two precise blasts from Jaskolska's hellgun. They rolled down, the sounds of bolter fire ringing back through the stairwell's metal frame, as Zerberin and the Major pushed through another door and into a control room. The terminals were still active, continuing with their operators in absentia to plot the blips and curves of an intensely crowded near-orbital space. Empty blood-stained chairs were set up along curving desks, blinking, chirping workstations facing an armor-glass window. The view was of an endless beige plain of desertified pasture land. A railroad cut across it, trailed by a dust road. Both ran from the substation to Princess Praxa. Zerberin manually operated his helm's magnification selector. It was no substitute for a pair of magnoculars, but it brought him a blurry 3- or 4-fold zoom, enough to make out the mottled grey industrial stacks crowding the city's outer walls. The chimneys pumped out a grimy ochre smog that hazed almost everything else within it. Even the high adamantium ceramite walls of the Crusade-era citadel that dominated the settlement's heart were little more than a gothic crimson shadow. "What is that smoke?"
"The people of Prax," said Major Bryce,
appearing in the door ahead of Columba and Calcator and a handful of Scions,
"and a billion more from off-world, brought here to be rendered."
Zerberin turned from the windows as Columba strode past. The veteran sergeant ignored the panorama entirely, thumped through the glazed metal doors onto the main staircase, and then blazed down the corridor with his bolt pistol to a riot of high-pitched screams. Calcator joined Zerberin at the glass. Jaskolska moved warily aside, some deep conditioning of her training causing her to half-raise her hellgun and slip behind a desk. The Iron Warrior disengaged his helmet seals and removed it, nose wrinkling as he took it under his arm and gazed across the plain towards the fortress that Perturabo had built. His eyes were pained, distant, his Primarch's glories, dust.
"You have seen it?" said Zerberin to the Major. "Throne, have I seen it?"
muttered Bryce, hugging his carapace as though the armor glass provided no protection against the winds of the plain.
"The smell of the tanneries stays on you for days, and the screams of the children."
"You are only human. It is understandable." Bryce nodded, grateful for that. He pointed to a humming stack of cogitator units that stood against the wall behind a clear plastic barrier.
"The data cache."
"I am no priest of Mars, Major."
"I suggest we pull up the unit and take it with us, First Captain."
Brother Antil walked over, shadowed by the smaller form of Bryce's Vox officer cum adjutant, Sergeant Menthis, and greeted Zerberin with a curt nod.
"I can bear the weight and see it safely loaded aboard the gunship. Once we return to Dantellion Forge, Brother Clathorin can conduct the necessary rites of retrieval."
"Do it." "Everything the orcs have done from here will have been automatically stored by the system," said Bryce. "Thousands of ships take off and land every day, and even more are unloaded from orbit. You'll be able to learn what the orcs are doing from that, I have no doubt."
"I can tell you what the orcs are doing," said Calcator,
turning his nailhead stare on Zerberin, ignoring the Scion utterly.
"They are feeding an empire."
Zerberin looked again at that crimson pall, as if the thermosphere wept blood. If his transhuman biology had retained the ability for him to be physically sick, then he would have been so. By the Emperor's wisdom, he was forced to keep his disgust internal. It stewed in his gut, suffused him, a familiar outrage trembling in the marrow of his bones. Feed.
"You saw the number of ships in orbit, little cousin," said Calcator. "The industry of Prax could be supplying offensives against hundreds of sectors. What are you suggesting?" "You know what I'm suggesting. You did not want to be on this planet. Now you are talking of reconquering it. Orcs do not settle. They burn. They took no prisoners on Ostrom or Klostra or on Idolica.
I could not have known that this would be here. There must be 10,000 orcs in that city, defending a 4th Legion citadel. There is no combination of variables that can sum 40 men and fewer than 30 Adeptus Astartes into a schema of victory. With a scowl, Calcaturi placed his helm over his head, his armor resealed with a clank of magnetic clamps. The next words he spoke came directly through Zerbrin's helmet channel. Forget the citadel. The fortress is but the surface of a complex of subterranean bunkers that runs beneath the entire city. The entrances are concealed and gene-locked. We can take the citadel and hold it long enough for our ships to land additional forces to cleanse the planet. Zerbrin closed his eyes and considered. The parameters of the modified mission schematic would recommend utilizing the substation's communications and landing capability to apprise the fleet and call down Thunderhawk extraction to remove the data cache to safety, and then, most likely, destroy the facility on their departure. But there was merit to Calcator's argument. He opened his eyes and met the Warsmith's glowing red-lensed stare. That horned mask was hiding something, he felt certain, but the Iron Warrior was too altered from his exalted origins, his manner too void of humanity, for him to guess what.
We need only get into the city, said Calcator.
Zerberin's eyes followed the line of the railroad, across the plain, and into Princus Praxa's bleak industrial heart. There was merit. He nodded, feeling an adrenal buzz suffuse his muscles as his body prepared itself for the combat promised by that red horizon. It felt good. The fight back began now.